Father God, we just praise you and thank you that you are our teacher, that we look to you, not people. And Lord, we need to hear from you today. There's many that are struggling with their situations. Lift those burdens, Lord. And then above all, be our teacher. Help us to focus on what's important. And we'll simply give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you'd like to follow along, because the scripture is always right, we can start in chapter 6. And, you know, remember this, the most important thing about this temple going up is that God was going to place his presence there. Just think of that. Wouldn't that just knock you over if you went to church and there was the Lord? It would just be so wonderful. But you know what? We are living stones in God's temple today. I love that. And the temple, when it was being built, was built with stone finished at the quarry so that no hammer or chisel or any tool was heard in the temple area while it was being built. That's down in 6:7. Now, why would I bring that up? Because if you watch UFO programs, and I hope you don't, I usually watch them to have a laugh. Guys from outer space came with lasers and cut. And here's such an example coming right from the quarry. That's why I wanted to emphasize that. It had to have been thrilling to watch that being put together and no sound. Now, if you're remodeling your house, it's a lot of racket. They even tell you to leave. So, anyway, go on down to verse 11. This is the Lord speaking to Solomon. And the word of the Lord came to Solomon saying, concerning this temple which you are building, if, that big if, I have it circled in my Bible, you walk in my statutes, execute my holiness, and keep all my commandments and walk in them, I will perform my word with you, which I spoke to your father David. And I will dwell among the children of Israel. And I will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon went on and built the temple, dropping down to verse 10. The inside of the temple was cedar, carved with ornamental buds and open flowers. All was made out of cedar. There was no stone that could be seen. You know, and I thought about that. These stones and this wood were all covered with gold. Now, the only light in the temple was the candelabra that was on one side, the candle. And then on the other side, of course, they had the showbread, and then they had the Holy of Holies. All those things were going in, but no electric lights. And you can just imagine those candles flickering. And the gold must have been just amazing. So then I thought, well, how come who would get to see this? Just a few priests. And it would be done in rotation. And the priests would handle the showbread, and they would handle the candelabra. And the high priest is the only one that could go into the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed. Isn't that amazing? They wanted the very best for God. And yet it wasn't a place where people could go in and out. So the question came in the question box. If David wasn't of the priestly line, he wasn't, he was of the line of Judah, why was he able to make sacrifices before the Ark of the Lord? Well, he never did. If you were a man, and of course none of us are, you wanted to make a sacrifice for your family, say maybe a sin offering, you would take your little lamb down to the temple and you would lay your hands on it and you would place your sins or your family's sins into that little critter, and then the priest would give you the knife and you would have to slit its throat. And so, you know, that might make us stop sinning a lot better or a lot faster. And no one touched those sacrifices except priests. That's just the way it was handled. And I like God doing that. I don't know if that answers that question or not, but I'm going to use this to follow along. So, if you walk with me, this is verse 12, concerning this temple, and do be obedient. Why, we don't even think about that today. But I will perform my word with you. And I spoke to your father David, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake them. Going on down, that's where we pick up the flowers that had been made out of cedar, all covered in gold. Must have been quite beautiful. And then it goes on that he overlaid the cedar with gold, everything that, so no wood would show, no stone would show, and no noise of putting it together. It was absolutely amazing how they had figured it out. And that it went on with the inner sanctuary and all the furniture. And that was all gold. I can't go over it at all. But I love this thing in verse 32. The two doors were made of olive wood, and they carved them on figures of cherubim, palm trees, open flowers, and overlaid them with gold. They had gold coming out their ears. Anyway, then we'll go on down, chapter, the last verse in chapter 6. He took 7 years building the temple. Then the next verse of chapter 7 says, but Solomon took 13 years to build his own house. Boy, did I find interesting comments in commentaries. Now, I can use a commentary. But I found it pretty interesting because, it's his ego. He thinks more of himself than he does of God, blah, blah, blah. But you have to remember that David collected all the gold and all the silver because he wanted to build the temple, but God wouldn't allow him. And we learned last week that the reason God wouldn't allow him is he was a man of bloodshed, and his son, Solomon, would be a man of peace. Although you kind of wonder when you first read it, he's not too peaceful. But it took him 13 years to build his own house. Don't make a big deal out of that. Because I think David not only did that, but he was very careful to, I think he was the architect. And that made everything go much quicker. Then he built this house of the forest of Lebanon, part of Solomon's palace complex, but in actuality it was an armory. It contained weapons. Again, that was all cedar. If they hadn't put gold on it, can you imagine the odor? The odor must have been overpowering building it. This is why they make cedar chests, so that moths won't bother you. Okay, then we go on down to verse 7. Then he made a hall for the throne and a hall for judgment, where he might judge, and it was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. This bothers me really badly when we get to the throne, but we're not there yet. And the house where he dwelt and so on. He had an awful lot of women to take care of. I don't know how he did it. But he said, it says in scripture he loved them all. Oh, come on. 700 women, how could you stand it? I mean, how could you love them all? Huge heart. Okay. And all he had costly stones were given to him, and tons of gold were given to him. It must have been old hat for him to have that much gold. I just can't imagine. And he hired a man called Hiram. Your Bible may say H-U-R-A-M, that's fine. My Bible says H-I-R-A-M, the same guy. So Solomon used him. He was from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father was a man of Tyre, bronze worker. And he was filled with wisdom of how to do all this stuff. I just think that's amazing. And then when we get down to those, for some reason, rather, I can remember them. They're two big pillars. They're outside of the temple. One is called Jason, and the other one is called Boaz. And my brain, I can remember that one real easy. And they were in the tops of the pillars, were made into shapes of lilies. They didn't forget anything. But my favorite one is the sea and the oxen. That's my favorite. You have this enormous bronze thing that was so big, so full of water, that they called it a sea. But the interesting thing is it had four oxens cast in that same material, holding it up, four facing the east, four facing the west, south. And can you imagine that? So what was that big thing full of water for? Well, you know, if you were a priest, you'd probably get pretty bloody. So this is a place where you could wash. It contained 2,000 baths, it says. And I remember reading someplace that was a horrendous amount of water. Then it goes on and he furnishes the temple. And then Solomon, down in verse 48, Solomon had all the furnishings made for the house of the Lord, the altar of gold, the house gold, and the table of gold on which was the showbread lampstand and so on. And this was all put together. And if you want to read more about it, just read about it in your scriptures. And then the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant in. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Well, if you haven't seen Raiders of the Lost Ark, one of my favorite movies, they said they had found it. I'm not going to get into the movie, but what was in it? Well, according to verses in my scripture, says the only thing that was in it was the Ten Commandments. And I just love that because it was covered with a mercy seat over it and nothing else. And all the other kingdoms would carry their kings and so that everybody could see them. And they were sitting on something. So here God gives them this direction of putting a mercy seat on top. And that's what we need so bad, isn't it? We need God's mercy. Yeah, it says right here, nothing in verse 9, nothing was in the ark except the two tablets. Now, whatever happened to Aaron's rod that budded and the jar of manna, don't ask me, I don't know. The scriptures don't tell us. Verse 10, and it came to pass when the priests came out of the holy place, after they had set everything up, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priests couldn't even go back in if they wanted to. So they continued ministering. That had to have been a real bloody thing, I think, because so many people brought their offerings. The interesting thing is there's none for sin here. Solomon wouldn't allow that, I guess. So all their offerings must have run like a river. That's all I can think of. See, let's go on down to Solomon's dedication. This is amazing. His prayer, his dedication. And how do I know it was really amazing? Because if I compared my prayers, Solomon's prayers, he really had it beautiful. Lord God of Israel, there's no God in heaven above or on earth below you who keeps your covenant and mercy with your servants who walk before you and with all your hearts. You have kept what you promised your servant David, my father. You have spoken with your mouth and fulfilled it with your hand. And then it goes on, you shall not fail to have a man sit before me. And that would strictly be from the kingly line, Judah's line. But will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. I just breathe that in for a minute. Isn't that wonderful? How much less this temple which I have built. So Solomon's got a real thing of humbleness going here. Then you can drop down to 33. We're in chapter 8. Verse 33. When the people of Israel are defeated, and then he gives a whole list of things. If this happens, then this will happen. And of course, most of you gals know, because we've studied Daniel, how Nebuchadnezzar came in and wiped them all out. And you're going to say, when we get there, we will get there. Hang in there. People are saying we should have more room to write. I want you guys to learn to have short answers. And if you need more paper, could you just turn the paper over? I'm sorry. My husband said the same thing. Liz, I can't get it all on these two pieces of paper. So I took questions out. I want you to know I had mercy on you. This is such an important area here about if we have famine, if we have a plague, if we have this or that, then that comes right out of sin. And then he gets up and he blesses the assembly. Did you notice how he would put out his hands to bless what were you saying and then turn it around and bless it on the people? I was really touched with that because I thought, if the king bows, how much more that you and I, because we know so much more about this wonderful God. So he blesses the assembly. He's kneeling first. Now, I have not kneeled on stone to see how painful that is. I probably wouldn't be able to do it today. But he kneeled on his knees, and he recited so much of Scripture. And the sad part is, when you get over to chapter 9, God's second appearance to Solomon. Now, any lady in here, if they saw the Lord, they probably would never be the same. But this is the second time that he appears to him. And he warns him, I've put my name here forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. Now, if you walk before me as your father David, you're going to see this on and on as we go with the kings, that they'll always go back to David. And we just got through with him. And you thought, what a crumb bum he was. But he's not. He's amazing when you really begin to think about what David did. Because he was a man of integrity. He was a man of a heart after God. And he walked in righteousness. Yeah, he slipped and slid a little bit, but he finally got it together. And then Solomon warned them that all of this calamity would come upon them. And as I say, you and I know that because we've studied Daniel. And man, they all got wiped out. But I like this, Solomon's additional achievements. He had a lot of them. I don't know how long they took to build, but Pharaoh's daughter came up from the city of David and lived in this palace that Solomon had put together. And I thought, would you really want to live in a house of gold? And he kind of hard on the eyes. So King Solomon also built a fleet of ships. I think that's very interesting in verse 26. What's he need ships for? I don't know. But here we got it. The Queen of Sheba arrives on the scene. And why I point this woman out so much and ask you for mileage is you will see these weird things on TV that say she came up and had a baby by him. Now, if you haven't heard that, just discard it. But that has always bothered me because she came with hard questions and she brought gifts and not the half was told her. Now, she came up 1,454 miles in an air-conditioned bus. Can you imagine going by camel? It must have been dreadful. But of course, that's how they were used to doing it. I mean, she even gets down to the people that hear Solomon. how blessed they were and delighted in you sitting on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore, he made you king to do justice and righteousness. So she even gives him a warning. And now we get to the part that really bothers me. This is chapter 10, verse 18. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory. And I put in my Bible, boo. Think how many elephants had to die. And overlaid it, this is the worst part, and overlaid it with pure gold. 600 shekels of gold is a, and he made these shields and of hammered gold, and on and on it goes. And then he had two lions. It must have been quite beautiful, and six steps. Nothing like it had been made for any other kingdom. All King Solomon's drinking vessels were gold. Now all the earth in the presence of Solomon came to hear his wisdom. Can you imagine? Well, I wrote some notes in here. At this stage of his life, Solomon focused his heart on things other than God. And it's really important to remember that. The story is sad because his immortality and idolatry resulted in failure and disgrace. Solomon committed these sins after a lifetime of service for God. Truly, there is no fool like an old fool. Be careful. Now, if you're getting old like me and crotchety, it's real easy to sin. People say, well, you're so old, nothing could go through that body of yours. You'd be surprised. And Solomon was 60 years old and still choosing 1,000 women. If Solomon exceeded his father's accomplishments, he also exceeded his mistakes. 700 wives, 300 concubines. I can't imagine. And the scriptures say says he loved them all. Also, Solomon had horses. If you go to Israel today, you'll see a bunch of rubble, and that's where he kept his horses. It was amazing. He bought so many. Now, we know from a couple lessons back that there was those three things he wasn't supposed to do. Multiply wives, multiply horses, and multiply gold. Of course, God gave him a lot of that gold from David. But it says he loved many foreign women in chapter 11, and as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, they usually lived in harems. And can you imagine living with all those women? Women living among women. It might have been a little bit crowded. And some cat fights. Who knows? But the Lord had warned him, surely they will turn your hearts away after other gods. And that's exactly what he did. He was turned away, these terrible gods. If I told you some of the things that they did in their rituals, you would say that isn't fair. That isn't right. Where they would sacrifice their children or their babies and so on. And Solomon got right into that. So what did God do? He raised up a couple of adversaries, and he said, if you were Solomon, you'd think that was kind of mean. Actually, that was God trying to get his attention to shape up. And the very things he had preached when he was younger, Not now. He was too involved in all those women. He was certainly not like David. And Solomon, therefore, had heard about Jeroboam being raised up to take over 10 of the tribes, and so he tried to kill him. And then we have the death of Solomon and the rest of his acts. Apparently they were written down in a book, and that is it. But the last question is, since God, because this is what bothered me, since God gave Solomon the gift of wisdom, can you explain how Solomon could have acted so unwisely? Yeah, that's, you know, I've stewed over that. So these were my reasons. Number one, he had no accountability. He had no prophet that he could check into, or a prophet that would check into him. He had a yen for women. Slightly. And then he had, which was out of control, he was above the law. And haven't we seen a lot of our politics today being above the law? Nothing new. And then he was supposed to read the word. He never read the word, obviously. Kind of followed his father. And then he wasn't careful in his old age. And I think of that for myself. Be careful. You know, people are still reading you as you speed out of here. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us a new king, Solomon. And the repercussions are going to be in his son, Rehoboam, and Jeroboam. And the country will split and be split for a long time. Lord, help us as your witnesses, as your stones in your living temple, to reflect you, to not reflect rock, but gold. And we, Lord, need to work on that. So help us this coming week to be all that you want us to be. And we'll simply give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.